The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. We are back with Eric Slokovitz from Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fishing and Boating Service. Is that what it's called now?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Fishing and Boating Service.
We just call it fisheries just to be, you know, just to be annoying. And you are the public outreach, what is your title?
Recreational Fisheries Outreach Coordinator.
Okay.
But maybe I should come up with a shorter name.
Yeah.
Outreach guy.
I'm the record guy.
Yeah.
State record guy. State record guy. So we were talking off the air about all the state records you've got piled up.
Oh, you know, man.
You got a gar and you got a fall fish.
Yeah.
Bullhead.
Yeah. It started with the gar during the winter.
Right.
Because guys were catching blue catfish.
Right.
Down in Marshy Hope on cut bait, and this guy was fishing for blue catfish. And he caught a new state record long-nose gar. I think it's 17 pounds.
That's a big gar.
Right. Then we got the fall fish this spring. We got a bullhead. We have the big, of course, the big dolphin, the big mahi in Ocean City.
The pompano.
And I think there's one more.
Five or six records since February. The question is, we haven't had with all the attention paid to snakeheads, we haven't had a new record snakehead in a while.
Correct.
And the last one, I believe, was caught bow and arrow, right?
Bow and arrow, yes.
And the one before that was.
Yeah, the last two were bow and arrow. We accept bow and arrow and rod and reel as methods for the snakehead. You know, it's interesting. They're popping up all over the state, but it seems like their growth seems to slow down at about 15, 16 pounds. And then they kind of grow real slowly from that size. And it's very rare to see them over like 17, 18 pounds.
Right.
I think maybe part of it is because of all the fishing pressure that we have on them now, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
But even in Maryland and Virginia, with all of this really good habitat, and the shallow weedy coves
and all the
wood cover and, you know, sort of like bass habitat, you know, it seems like it's uncommon to see them above 20 pounds, but I think we might see that eventually.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. No question.
And I think there was a new IGFA record set in Virginia for rod and reel, which is something like 19 and a half pounds.
Are they considered IGFA qualified?
They are now.
International Game Fish Association?
Yes, they are now recognized by the International Game Fish Association.
Wow, they're in Florida, right? They're in Florida. They're next to one of the big stores like we have here at Arundel Mills.
Correct, know? Yeah.
Yeah. Melbourne? I can't remember.
Yeah, East Coast. That's right. Atlantic Coast of Florida.
Yeah.
Down near Melbourne or down in that Melbourne Palm Beach corridor.
It might be, yeah.
Okay.
There's one museum I wouldn't mind going to see, is the IGFA Museum.
Yeah, I actually went there once for a recreational fisheries conference. You gotta go.
Yeah.
There's a collection of old books, old fishing tackle, upstairs in their library, which is really cool. Yeah.
Ernest Hemingway,
you know.
Yeah, well, Ernest, I've been to his place in Key West, Ernest Hemingway's place. And that's on the bucket list to go back with Robin because she has never been to Key West.
Right.
But, we visited Hemingway's place, you know, the old man in the sea.
Of course, old man in the sea.
You knew Bill Burton. You knew Bill Burton, right?
I knew him, yes.
Did you ever see the medal he wore around his neck with the Marlin on it?
I never took a really close look at him. At the jewelry or anything. No, I didn't.
He wore this medallion continuously, and it was a Marlin.
Okay.
He had placed second place in a Marlin tournament sponsored by Hemingway, and Hemingway put that medal around his neck.
Wow.
How about that?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, he was full of stories. I mean,
he was full of something.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
And a lot of it had to do with stories.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Well, I drove him home from Chesapeake Beach from a Rockfish charter back to his home in Pasadena, and he had all kinds of stories.
Oh, yeah. Was that the Diamond Jim?
It was Diamond Jim. It was
I remember when we
had him out on the boat.
I remember when he released Diamond Jim.
He released Diamond Jim, but his stories went back to the late 50s going down to Assateague when there was no bridge.
Sure.
And taking a ferry that only ran, what, three times a day?
Something like that, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was quite the explorer, no question
right.
about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill Burton, that's a good memory. Well, he was quite a hunter too. I don't know if you knew that. He worked with me.
Sure.
He worked with me for years on the Maryland Deer Hunting Guide, and he was first editor and became editor emeritus after he slowed down quite a bit. And the first eight or nine years, he had the bulk of the content, and he had some pretty good stuff. So Bill Burton, yep, good guy.
I wonder what he would think about these snakeheads.
Oh, he'd have a special snakehead section in the paper.
Yeah,
knowing that guy.
Right. So,
What do you think of the snakeheads?
Well, I think right off the bat here, I'll say Maryland and Virginia are probably the two leading states in experience with snakeheads.
Right.
And we have two different theories on them. Virginia kind of is leaning towards maybe that they're starting to coexist with the native fish and reach some like equilibrium or a plateau or something. Maryland, we don't agree with that. I mean, there is now some new studies coming out of the Blackwater area between DNR and Fish and Wildlife Services, FWS, Fish and Wildlife Service, that shows, it looks like snakeheads are impacting the whole food chain. I mean, they're gonna eat any small minnows. They're gonna eat, potentially baby bass, sunfish, crappie, anything.
Ducks.
Opportunistically, ducks, right?
I mean, seriously, they'll eat ducks and goblins.
Frogs, of course, And so I think that they're having a major impact on the ecosystem. Now we're getting reports that they're showing up in the Severn River around Ray's Pond, which is historically a big pickerel fishing area.
Yeah,
but. Interesting. It seems like the pickerel fishing hasn't been that good the last couple of winters.
They're comparable size up to a point as far as predators. There's only so much there to eat.
Yeah, there's really, right.
You want to get rid of snakeheads in Blackwater?
Well.
Seriously, they got rid of the nutria, allegedly.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So the way to get rid of the snakeheads in Blackwater is to tell the sika deer hunters that they're starting to eat sika deer. They'll be gone in a month.
Right.
They'll use muzzle loaders and bows and arrows and crossbows, high powered rifles. They'll take care of all those things. You tell them they're eating sika deer. Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Sika deer are special. And that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah, I know.
I should consider that.
Yeah.
I'll look into that.
Let me put the rumor out there.
I'll start a rumor, Mel. Yeah.
Well, I think we just did. Just
okay. All right.
But yeah. Hey, sika deer hunters, they found the remains of sika deer and they cleaned a bunch of 15-pound snake heads, and they found the remains of sika deer in their stomach. So, sika deer hunters, you're down there, you're sitting on the edge of the marsh, and you see a snake head, you better waste an arrow on that thing.
Right.
How I do. Seriously, folks, we have no evidence that snake heads have ever eaten a sika deer. Unless you see the movie. Because they eat all kinds of stuff down in the bayou.
Frankenfish. Snakehead terror.
Frankenfish.
Frankenfish.
Yeah, they jump out of water and take you right off the dock.
Yeah.
I
think they attack a police officer in his patrol car or something.
Yeah.
Right.
They walk on land.
Right.
200-pound snakehead would be something to behold.
Man. We don't want them getting that big.
No, we don't.
We're trying to cut them off at about the 20-pound mark.
But I want to see one of those videos on YouTube. The python eating the gator.
Oh yeah.
I want to see the sika deer eating the blue catfish.
Right.
Or vice versa.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, blue catfish, they're another issue. I think I'm almost a little bit more concerned about blue catfish, in my opinion, just because they grow to 90, 100 pounds.
Right.
And there already has been evidence that they're approaching that size in the Potomac River, and now they're starting to move up to the north and the east. They're up into the Marshy Hope, and now they're getting up to the Susquehanna River. You know, we have people catching 20-pound blue cats underneath the I-95 bridge.
Wow.
On the Susquehanna River.
Right.
You know, using any kind of cut bait, basically, that you have at your disposal.
My concern.
Yeah.
My concern. We hear very little about flathead catfish.
Right.
But they're just as big of a predator, are they not? They're a blue cat. They don't grow as big.
Yeah. So they're a sneaky invasive predator. They're one of our top three.
DNR doesn't know anything about them. That's
yeah,
how sneaky
yeah.
they are.
They're sneaky because they're not quite spread out as much as the blue cats and snakeheads. They're in a couple of areas. They're in the Conowingo tail race, and they're in the Upper Potomac. Now, the Upper Potomac is tricky because we think they might be starting to affect smallmouth bass and some of these other classic fisheries up in the Potomac, but we
right.
don't really have a good handle on it.
So
they're more of a niche fish.
They are a niche.
Yeah.
Really? More so?
I mean, they're concentrated in small areas with strong current, good oxygen.
Yeah.
And if you follow these Midwestern guys that from Minnesota down to Oklahoma that target them, they're
yeah.
like a live bait. They don't like rotten, dead bait.
Right, right.
You know, you want to use like a live bluegill, something like that to entice these big flathead catfish.
Just have John Mollican
right.
be reeling in a walleye and
yeah.
have a flathead come up and eat it. There won't be any more flatheads
right.
in the upper
That's
Potomac.
Game over, right?
Yeah,
that's
Mollican
the end of
will
the
wipe
story.
Them out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's,
he'll wipe them out.
That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about you know, that those walleye and smallmouth bass, oof.
Yeah, I hear you.
Right. If the flatheads really start getting on them, that's trouble too.
That is
right.
big trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
Big trouble. Well, they're already doing it in the Susquehanna.
Right,
saying.
Right, yeah.
Hey, Ken Island's crabbing headquarters. With crab pots and crab traps and crab nets and ready-to-go trot lines and trot line components and crab bait and crab seasoning and steamers and license and ramp permits is the first choice for Eastern Shore Hunters and Anglers, Chesapeake Outdoors. Chesapeake Outdoors is located just off Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road exit, right there on Kent Island. Everything, as I said, for crabbing, and, of course, the same type of selection for fishing as well. Don't forget the archery and the hunting and the muzzleloaders and the waterfowl and the camo and all that stuff. But Chesapeake Outdoors does have Grundens boots and rain gear and apparel if you want to look like a waterman. They've got the extra tough fishing boots, and they do have Costa sunglasses, Yeti coolers, and everything you need for fishing, crabbing, hunting, bow hunting, and you name it, they've got it, and even snakeheads. All that at Chesapeake Outdoors. 410-604-2500, 604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. Now let's switch over to Baltimore. Let's talk about Clyde's Sports Shop. Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Their phone number is 410-242-6108. You want baskets and lids. You want measures, tongs, gloves, crab mallets, salted eel, chicken necks, aluminum steamers, Clyde's custom crab seasoning, trot lines, raw line, tarred line, rigged line, snoods, bait bags, floats, Pasadena crab traps, and they even have the topless crab traps, Eric.
Whoa,
and they're topless. Stacked. Those topless crab traps are really stacked right there at Clyde's Sports Shop.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Commercial crab pots and crab hotels and crab rings and wire nets and cloth nets. And well, you get the idea. It's all about crabbing and fishing at Clyde's Sports Shop for the fall season. They're open 7 days a week, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit number 9. That phone number for Clyde's is 410-242-6108. And they do have a 24-hour fishing hotline, 410-247-3474 for Clyde Sports Shop. Guess what? We'll be right back after this. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
New this Halloween.
It's getting a little scary.
The Crazy Uncle Joe. Yard inflatable.
It's shocking.
Just push Joe's button, and it's Gaff.
It's not plushy. You're in a wheelchair. Sorry, Chuck.
After Gaff.
You know, one after the other.
After horrifying Gaff.
Poor kids are just as tall as white kids.
Imagine if Trump said that once.
Sean Hannity pushing buttons.
Words matter.
This is their candidate?
Weekday afternoons, 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, Mike, I usually run into your wife, Susan, here at the supermarket.
Susan had to find a part-time job ever since we retired. It's getting harder to make ends meet.
Have you heard about BenefitsCheckup.org?
BenefitsCheckup.org?
BenefitsCheckup.org is a free website where people over 60 can see if they qualify for help to pay for food, medicine, even utilities. BenefitsCheckup.org helped me get $1,200 a year in benefits. Maybe it can help you.
Nice to spend the night with my daughter and other veterans. It's so humbling to attend an event when you feel appreciated.
I had a wonderful time with my family. Thank you for the memories, VetTix.
Dear VetTix, thank you for a great experience and for your support of the military and veterans.
Thank you so much, VetTix. Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to VetTix, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience. Give the memory. VetTix. Give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to vettix.org.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I like the Doors better. What? I did. I like the Doors better. Okay.
That's some pretty good 80s stuff
there. Oh, you know.
Sledgehammer.
Sledgehammer.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Sledgehammer.
Yeah, MTV.
Yeah. Yep. I grew up watching the founder of MTV, Michael Nesmith, on the Monkees.
Wow.
Did you know that?
That's cool. I didn't know he was the founder.
He was part of it. Yep.
Yeah.
And his mother invented whiteout. Did you know that?
No, in her kitchen.
The office staple his mother invented in her kitchen.
Wow.
Just a little known trivia. I am totally full of useless information.
No, it's good. You should do trivia contests or, I don't know, Jeopardy or something.
What was that word? What was that word that started with bull over there in the peanut gallery there, Ira? Yeah, well, that too. Anyway, okay, so we named the big three of the invasives.
Right.
And we named the snakeheads, and we talked a little bit about that. And we talked about the blue cats, and you said you were more concerned about the blue cats, and then we got a little bit off onto the flathead thing and making fun of the sneaky, you know, flatheads. But
right.
These three species here in Maryland are serious threats mm-hmm. to our fishing environment.
Right.
And yeah. I want to say this to anybody out there who is stupid enough to catch one of these fish and keep it alive and transfer it to another body of water just because it's fun to catch. You're an idiot. No, you're a moron. No, you're an imbecile. Maybe more of a moron. I think that morons have a lower intelligence than an imbecile. So anyway,
it's also illegal, actually.
It is also
illegal to transport them.
So you are an imbecile who is also a scofflaw.
Correct.
So
yeah.
But if you want to know how I really feel about it, you know, you'll just have to call us when next time we do a live show.
Right.
Okay. You want to work backwards? You want to talk about flatheads a little bit more? Let's talk about flatheads a little bit more. They're in the Susquehanna.
They're in the Susquehanna River, and in Pennsylvania, they're doing guided flathead catfish tours, right?
Yeah. I used to know a couple guys that go out for them at night crawlers, you know, 20-30 pound flatheads, five, six of them a night, and they thought it was great.
That's another issue. You know, there's some of the Pennsylvania guides, they really like them, but I mean, For our warders in Maryland, you know, they're down there in the Conowingo tail race where they're eating shad, perch, and striped bass, three native Maryland fish, and they're just wreaking havoc with the ecosystem there. And now
you're talking American shad, hickory shad,
right.
Mud shad, the three types of shad.
And that's
What is a mud shad? Is that a threat?
Well, it's a gizzard shad, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's, yeah, that's a primary spawning ground and migratory, you know, route for all the shad in the spring, plus rockfish, yellow perch, white perch, smallmouth bass, walleye in that area.
Right.
So we've got flatheads potentially eating all of those. And now we have flathead in the upper Potomac River where they can impact walleye and smallmouth bass. They, you know, when I say they're a little bit more of a niche fish, they like, you know, gravel streams running or rivers, mm-hmm. gravel rock bottom, mm-hmm. you know, deep holes, but they like current, you know, maybe a little bit cooler water. They don't spread out, and they don't tolerate salinity, I guess, like blue catfish. So that's probably why they haven't spread out as much as the blue catfish.
Are we going to allow noodling for them?
Anything, anywhere.
Is that illegal? You better check on that.
I better check on that one.
Noodling.
That's reaching into a hollow log or underneath a bank,
right.
And sticking your hand into the mouth of a flathead catfish.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you have to be a little bit crazy to do that.
I think.
Or that, brave.
I think the start of the tournament goes like this. Hey, y'all, hold my beer. Watch this.
Right. Because there's also water snakes down there.
And various
other creatures.
Exactly.
So,
my big teeth this flathead has. So, that's an Oklahoma thing, I think.
Right. That's where it started, right?
I think that's the headquarters for flathead noodling or whatever they call it.
So. Yeah.
hand fishing. But, right. you know, they're here. Okay, so they're like a little more fresh water than the mm-hmm. others, and they right. don't tolerate the salt water as much. But
right.
they're just as much of an environmental threat because they don't belong here.
Right, they don't belong
here. I mean,
neither
do European carp or brown trout.
Yeah.
They don't belong here. But,
right.
But they're here.
They're
and
here.
Brown trout and European carp don't have that much of an impact, but we have adapted to them.
Right.
But
yeah.
when it's a predatory fish, mm-hmm. as big as these fish can get.
Right. Yeah. 90, 100 pounds in their native waters. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I mean, I don't know. How did all this start? Now, you know, the rumor is, oh, well blue cats were stocked to increase recreational fishing opportunities in Virginia.
In the James River,
James River. They were stocked.
Yeah, possibly. They were stocked to create a fishery where guides could do blue catfish trips year-round, potentially, down in the James River. Maybe that was at a time when largemouth bass fishing was slow. Maybe the rockfish were in a moratorium, and they were looking for another target
species. Yeah.
I mean, I used to watch... You know, Roland Martin catch them down in Sandy Cooper Reservoir.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, oh, this is a really cool game fish.
Yeah.
You know, man, look at these things, 50, 60 pounds. They're catching them on like light bass gear and stuff.
Sure.
So they had some attraction factor to them.
Yeah.
But now we've kind of unleashed, I don't know, we've opened up this Pandora's box, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, blue catfish. From what Mary and Tim Groves tell me, they constantly are catching them during their electrofishing surveys. They do it, you know, they do a dissection. They find yellow perch in their stomachs.
White perch.
White perch. Again, all the shad species, bass. But really, yellow perch is a problem. You know, yellow perch are under a lot of pressure and a lot of stress in Maryland and now you have these blue catfish that grow up to 70, 80 pounds feeding on yellow perch in the tributaries, in the spawning areas.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's major problem right there.
That's right.
So we just encourage people to catch them and kill them. It's illegal to transport them.
Right.
From point A to point B.
One of our listeners
they're
actually,
good eating.
Yeah, one of our listeners actually called me and said, hey, I got, you know, he said, I've been catching blue catfish in the Eastern Shore River.
Marshy Hope?
Marshy Hope.
Right.
Yeah, I got a spot on Marshy Hope, all I want, you know.
Catching. Yeah.
Right. And he said, do you want some? I said, sure. So he called me one Saturday on the way home. He said, I got a couple for you. And he said, I'll meet you in Easton. And I said, okay. So took them home, cleaned them, and I cooked them up, and they're delicious.
Yeah.
They're delicious.
Oh, they're delicious.
You know?
I mean, classic, you know.
But I don't know if a 90-pounder is as good as a 10-pounder, you know. But,
right, right.
But
yeah, I mean, you know, the larger ones are maybe not as good, but I would cut them up into smaller pieces and do a batter fry.
Batter fry, deep fry. Yeah.
I mean, and then you have a feast. I mean,
yep.
You know, so they're good eating. Snakeheads, flatheads, and blue catfish are all very good eating fish.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been promoting that. There's been a lot of chefs in the Baltimore, D.C. area doing all kinds of fancy recipes with mm-hmm. them. They're all more of a mild fish, so, you know, you can just try different seasonings and sauces and just the classic, like, deep fry, really.
Yeah, deep fry's good.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've had deep fried bluefish. I've had smoked bluefish. I've had
bluefish
on the grill. I mean, that's more of an oily fish. But, I mean, you take any of those three species that you talk about and do anything with them that you do with, you know, any other milder fish,
mm-hmm.
and whatever you consider mild, whether you – I don't know, pick one, haddock or cod or something like that.
Haddock or cod, sure.
You could do, you know, the same type of recipes.
Yeah.
The breaded thing is great. You can put all kinds of seasonings in there. You can do all kinds of marinades. You can do all kinds of saute. You know,
right.
I mean, fish is, you make a nice fish cake, a salad. You know, they're susceptible to all that.
Mm-hmm.
And people like fish. There you catch a 90-pound fish. That's like taking a... You know, nice sized dough at the beginning of hunting season. You got meat in the freezer, you know?
Right, yeah.
So, but, because it's there, it's available.
And remember, we have state record categories we have the invasive species category, we have the blue catfish, flathead, and snakehead state record categories.
Okay.
The flathead category is still open because we're looking for one that's 50 pounds and up.
Really?
Yeah. I'm thinking about dropping that down a little bit.
You know what else you need to drop down?
Yeah.
Blue crab.
Blue crab.
It's 8 inches, man.
Yeah, 8 inches for a certificate.
I mean, I love Brenda, but yeah. eight inches, Brenda? Yeah. Come on. give somebody who catches a 7.5-inch crab a citation.
I think it used to be 9 inches, and maybe we dropped it down to 8.
Wow.
But maybe we should drop it a little bit more.
Maybe. Yeah.
So you can also get a certificate if you go to Fish Maryland. That's the new Maryland Fishing Challenge.
Okay.
You can get a certificate for snakehead, blue catfish, or flatheads in that division.
Okay. Are there size limit? I mean, are size minimums on that?
Yeah, there's size minimums, which I don't recall off the top of my head, but they're listed on there.
Well, when we go to break, you can look them up, and we'll talk about that in the last segment.
Okay, sounds good. Okay.
So, but
Fish Maryland. It's called Fish Maryland. Yes.
Okay. We'll look at that.
Okay.
Absolutely. But that's a good place for people to go for a resource. So, okay, well, we got a couple minutes in this segment. What do you catch them on? If I want to go catch an 80-pound blue catfish in the Potomac River, what do I need?
You need heavy gear, bait casting. You want to go? I would prefer, bait casting over spinning.
Yeah.
You're talking about at least a 30 to 40-pound braid.
Okay.
Some of the guys are going up to like an 80-pound braid, which is equivalent to a 40-pound mono. So heavy bait casting gear, kind of like musky tackle.
You mean in diameter now?
In diameter, right.
But a couple ounces. Double the tensile strength.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Couple of ounces of lead on a sliding fish finder rig, either a bank sinker on a fish finder sleeve or an egg sinker, and then a heavy fluorocarbon leader, like let's say 60 to 80 pound fluorocarbon, and a big circle hook or a big J hook.
Okay.
You know, 9-aught, 8-aught.
Big
hook, cut bait, any kind of oily cut bait, shad, menhaden, alewife. Some guys are even using fish scraps from the seafood markets. I've heard of bonito,
really?
Tuna scraps, saltwater fish scraps being used.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Any kind of oily cut fish bait.
Yeah.
Fish it on the bottom on a channel edge, anywhere from 15 to 30 feet of water. Along the channel edges.
Yeah.
Fort Washington is a very good spot, the hole in Fort Washington.
Used to be half a gizzard shed.
Right. Large chunk bait or half a cut fish.
Yeah.
You got to get some scent in the water.
Right.
Again, Fort Washington down to the Route 301 bridge. We've had guys just going out of Smallwood State Park. And just anchor up on any channel edge in that area, even with kayaks and catch
them. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
80-pound catfish on a kayak.
Nantucket sleigh ride.
That would be it. Yeah.
Right.
So, all right. Well, cool. Hang in, Eric. We're going to talk about one of our great sponsors, which is Chesapeake Outdoors. And the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers with all the archery equipment, the Matthews Vertex bow, the Mission Sub 1 XR crossbow, the Raven R26 and R29, clearance sale on all the Hoyt archery, Thompson Center CVA muzzleloaders, camo ammo for every occasion, dove gear, decoys and buckets and chairs, and don't forget about all the large selection of waterfowl calls. Costa sunglasses, Yeti coolers, Rambo electric bikes, Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road, right there in Kent Island in Chester, Maryland, 410-604-2500. That's Chesapeake Outdoors. Now let's switch over to Clyde Sports Shop, your full-line Browning dealer, right there in Baltimore. They're located on Hammonds Ferry Road, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, to be exact. And they've got some great high-powered rifles from Browning. And let's talk about the X-Bolt Hell's Canyon, first of all. This is a great gun for Western hunting in particular, but if you like them for whitetails, you can do that too. It comes in the Arid Urban Camo. It comes with a threaded muzzle brake, a Cerakote finish, fluted sporter barrel, and a detachable rotary magazine, a short throw bolt, and its select calibers are available in the Hell's Canyon. Three different models, the Speed, which is a little shorter, the Long Range, like the 6.5 Creedmoor, and then Macmillan models as well. The great combo gun is the AB300. Comes with either wood or synthetic stock. Comes with a factory installed Nikon Buckmaster 4-12x40 BDC rifle scope. Available in 243, 308, 270, 30-06, and Remington Mag and 300 Win Mag and others. It's a great combo gun at a great price. Both available at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Your full-line Browning dealer, that phone number, 410-242-6108. Firearms, ammo, licenses, gunsmithing, scope mounting, all can be found right there at Clyde's. They're open 7 days a week. Fishing hotline, 247-FISH for Clyde's Sports Shop. And we'll be right back.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Modest cold front coming in tonight with some sprinkles and maybe some light rain showers into early Sunday morning, but the 90s are back early next week. It has been feeling more like mid-summer than mid-September here, definitely. We're in the mid-80s this afternoon with some cloud cover keeping us in the 80s today. That's still above average. Some sprinkles tonight, low 67, partly cloudy Sunday in the upper 80s. Monday, mostly sunny and a high near 90 degrees. I'm meteorologist Scott Laurie, more from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
His shirt was like all mangled. And I said, did you iron that? He looks at me and goes, I spent an hour last night ironing this shirt. I said, did you use steam or anything? He says, no. Was I supposed to?
Well, isn't that your fault for not teaching him how to iron properly?
Wasn't my fault. There's YouTube videos.
Join me for the Kim Komando Show Sunday night at 10 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I fish. I also clean local waterways so others can fish and swim. I help build public boat ramps for easy access to the water. I provide fishing and water safety education for kids. I maintain a healthy fish population so tomorrow's anglers can enjoy a catch. I prevent unwanted species from spreading into waters where they don't belong. I restore the condition of rivers to help fish and wildlife thrive. I fund long-term plans to protect our lakes and streams. I do all of these things and more, all because I buy a fishing license. When you buy a fishing license, you do a lot. In fact, every dollar from a license purchase protects and maintains your local waterways for future generations to enjoy. To learn more about how you can get your fishing license, go to takemefishing.org. That's takemefishing.org.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I like this bumper music. We have to record every show. I'll be in here every week, Ira. What do you think? No? Yeah. Okay. Eric Slokovich. Maryland's recreational
fisheries outreach coordinator.
That guy, yeah. He's with us today, folks. He's been with us for 2 hours.
The fish guy.
Yeah, you know he's here. State record guy, too. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Right.
All right, so let's review our last hour. We talked primarily about striped bass, and we talked about the warning system for the hot weather, which comes out every Wednesday for the following week with the weekly fishing report.
Correct.
We talked about fall fishing. That probably some of that's going to come to an end, like the Spanish mackerel, here in the next few weeks.
Right.
You know, when the water temperature comes down. But everything else will be, you know, you'll see rockfish breaking on the surface and that.
Yeah, so we'll get into the trolling, jigging, casting, breaking rockfish.
The fall fishery. Yeah, which is good, which is a really good season.
Right.
Okay, we talked about that. We talked about some oddball species kind of flowing north here with, I guess, the water temperature, like the pompano and the speckled trout and that type of thing.
And we had a barracuda, which is in the angler's log.
We had
a stray barracuda that was caught off Ocean City, way out by Poor Man's Canyon.
Yeah.
So that's...
Well, we've
caught a few of them before.
Yeah, tarpon, too, you know.
Tarpon, stray tarpon. Yeah. One was hooked in the lower bay by a cobia fisherman this summer.
A tarpon?
A tarpon, yeah.
Really?
He fought it for about an hour and then lost it.
Oh, man.
Boatside, I believe he was sight casting for cobia.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it just...
Yeah.
There's sort of a smorgasbord of different summer visitors.
What we didn't talk about were the dolphins in the bay.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't talk about the Calnose Rays invasion either.
Right.
But we will. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe next.
Well, I'm not really a big marine mammal person.
Yeah, but I mean, Calnose Rays, that's
okay,
your thing.
Okay, that's my thing, right?
Yeah. That's your thing.
Yeah.
But we do get all kinds of stuff. We get southern stingrays in here. And,
correct.
We didn't talk about any flounder fishing in the bay, which there is, so we will. We need to get back out. You and I need to go fishing in the winter to see if there's any winter flounder north.
I know. Yeah, we've talked about that.
We haven't done it yet.
I know.
But hey, I've been talking about going turkey hunting with Bobby Dutrow for 15 years.
Okay.
Finally went this year and killed a turkey. So maybe we'll go catch a winter flounder.
Right.
Get some corn and some bloodworms and we'll go.
Yeah.
But you know, finally
that cat food.
You like my idea about cat food?
The cat food, ground up clams and mussels, stirring up the bottom with the sash weight. I mean, I used to hang out with these old timers. Oh, yeah, that was St. Patrick's Day. We'd go for winter flounder.
Now, tell me where that was.
Well, this was Long Island.
Long Island?
It was big business up there. Great South Bay, Moriches Bay.
We used to go to South Jersey.
South Jersey.
And
they would rent small skiffs.
February, March,
right?
Brought them small. You're exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, so
I caught my first winter flounder.
Yeah.
Yep, no question. So, good old days, huh?
I know,
well, what are you going to do? I've done a lot, been around a lot.
Right.
And, you know, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's neither here nor there. But that helped create whatever this person is that does the show.
Exactly.
It's all part of my past. And I have my dad to blame for that. And by the way, this a week ago, September 6th, 1999, he's passed away. So it's been 20 years.
Wow,
he would have celebrated his 100th birthday back in May. But, 20 years on that one. So. And we talked about fishing on his way out.
Yeah.
So that was good.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, and we also talked a lot about invasive species.
We did.
And you said there is actually a citation program for invasive species.
Yeah. So it's called the Fish Maryland Program now, and it's sort of a updated version of the Maryland Fishing Challenge.
I remember that.
Yeah. You were heavily involved in
that. I was heavily involved in the fishing.
So we have the blue catfish minimum size 40 inches. It has to be 40 inches. You can get a certificate.
40 inches.
Yeah.
That's over 3 feet. That's a big fish.
Yeah, but they get really big. Remember?
Yes, they do.
34 inches is the size for a flathead catfish.
Okay.
30 inches for a snakehead.
30.
If you get a fish 30 inches or larger, snakehead, you get a certificate. We also require that you keep and kill them.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to get your certificate for live
That's
fish.
That's part of the thing. That's part of the deal.
Right.
It must be kept to receive the award. So.
No, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, one thing we didn't really talk about that much, there is actually still, if I remember right, a governor's citation.
There is.
For catching and releasing a
striped bass
over 40 inches.
Correct. During an open season. That's the key.
Yeah,
right.
Open season. Yeah.
So once that opening season kicks in April and people are allowed to keep fish, if you voluntarily...
You're not talking about the catch and release season.
I'm talking about the catch and keep season, right?
Right.
So once, if you're fishing under the catch and keep season and you voluntarily release a striped bass over 40 inches or larger...
Yep.
And you document it, you are eligible for the governor's award.
Yeah.
So you want to take a picture with a tape measure and releasing the fish, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be nice to have a certificate that that you did something on the side of conservation and were recognized for it by the governor of the state of
Maryland. Oh, it's really cool. Yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah. I remember when that happened. I was there when that happened. I've been involved a little bit.
Yeah.
Long term. But. You know, enough about me. Let's talk about you. You were in a bad auto accident here not long ago. What happened? Tell them about what happened.
Well, I was basically, that was October of 2017.
Almost a year ago.
Yeah. So I was driving home from a late movie, Only the Brave, the firefighter smoke jumper movie.
Yeah.
A late show with my son and basically got into a head-on collision with a drunk driver, basically on Bestgate Road where it goes back into Rao Boulevard, right?
Yeah.
Going right down towards the Navy Stadium by the Route 50 overpass. So
right.
I was just about a mile from home, classic, right?
Yeah.
Statistically, they say
it
happens a mile from your house quite often. And
most accidents.
And I couldn't.
I don't understand why more people don't move if accidents happen that
right.
close to home.
Yeah, yeah. Anything, everything is fair game here.
Pretty much. So you had this head-on collision.
Compound fracture of the ankle. You know what that means?
That means you hit the brakes.
Yeah, it means I slammed on the brakes and I broke my tibia and fibula. Thank you.
Yeah, Robin will
quote you on that. Both of them shattered. Yeah, they call it a pylon break. You can only do it when you slam on the brakes or if you fall from a high distance. You need a lot of force to do that. So fall off a roof or slam on the brakes in a head-on collision, you get a pylon break.
And let me flip a coin to see
ribs.
Which one I want to do.
Neither.
Right.
Yeah, I broke five or six ribs on my right side. I was in a shock trauma for a week, and I have a lot of respect for those folks.
Good people.
I was not airlifted, although they considered it. I got the ambulance ride, which is fun, you know, hitting some of those potholes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous respect for the shock team up there, and then I was in a rehab facility for about 3 months. Learning how to walk again and doing all that stuff. Yeah. But I just did a great fishing trip with my dad. You were talking about your dad.
Yeah.
I did a trip with him in Alaska. He has a river guide friend. I'm able to get into Chess Waders. We did a little bit of salmon fishing, sockeye.
Nice.
Did some king salmon and rainbow trout. And I just need to wear like a size 15 boot for my right ankle because it still swells up.
Yeah.
And by the end of the day, like 5-6 o'clock, I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
And you really
don't want to cut a $150 pair of waders off.
Right.
So
no.
You just rather slip your foot out of them.
Yeah. We had a great father son trip and,
that's wonderful. Yeah. Glad to
so,
hear. Yep.
Yeah. It's, you know, slowly, it's been a year plus process.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of physical therapy. A lot of respect for those people, too, man. I learned a lot about these professions when you're right in the middle of it like that.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Know exactly
what you're talking about.
So, yep. Yeah.
Cool. Well, Eric, I'll tell you what. This has been a wide-ranging show with a lot of different subjects, a lot of different information. We're going to stay tuned on the striped bass front because the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission is meeting in September, and there'll probably be some changes
Well, they're meeting in October, actually.
October. Okay. Well,
they're meeting in October.
Okay.
There'll be hearings this month in September.
Okay.
So stay tuned for that.
Right.
Yeah. They'll be meeting in October and again in February.
Yeah.
It's probably going to take two meetings to do everything.
Yeah.
But we hope we know a lot by, let's say, January.
Go back over that one time.
Right.
You are anticipating forecasting some changes to the trophy season.
Right.
Because we have to conserve more now. We have to cut back on the recreational harvest.
Correct.
Or the overall harvest.
We're looking at potential cuts to both commercial and recreational.
And recreational, okay.
Overall, 18%.
18%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, the numbers don't lie.
Right.
Your Young of the Year survey, your mm-hmm. harvest numbers, everything goes into the pot and is analyzed.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I'll say it again, Maryland is leading the pack as far as its boots on the ground biologists. I have the utmost respect for the people that do the research and do the work because they know what they're doing.
Yeah,
I mean wildlife and fisheries.
Right.
So
yeah, we have the population dynamics people and the statisticians and the biologists.
Yeah,
you know, we have a lot of infrastructure.
Put your fingers in your ears. I hope someone in the administration is listening. How about freeing up a little more money for the Department of Natural Resources? I think that would be wonderful. You've had letters, you've had proposals to kick in about another $1 million that you don't waste somewhere else. How about considering our natural resources, Mr. Governor? Eric didn't hear that. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Eric, turn your headset back on. There you go. Hey, thanks for being here today, buddy.
I had a good time. Excellent time. Really good talking to you, Alan.
You got it, Eric. We'll talk again. Take care. All right, folks, there's the music. We're out of here soon. Get out, stay safe.